All right, we continue our series. I should say we wrap it up. Today's the last day of our series, Rock Solid. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the room. If y'all would give them a hand, I know Chris already done that, but they've earned that applause, I promise you. So anyway, we're excited about celebrating that today. Today we talk about how to leave a rock solid legacy. And for every mom in the room, hopefully that is something you want to do. You want to leave a legacy to your children. You want to leave something behind that they'll remember you for and they'll think about. And so throughout this series, we have started with this passage. This is a teaching of Jesus. And it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. And so we've started every message, whether we've been talking about marriage or finances or whatever it might be. We've kind of started with this passage. And hopefully for some of you, you know, maybe you're even getting to the point where you remember it, you think about it, and maybe it's hidden here. And so let's read it one more time. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." And so from the beginning of the series all the way to the end, we've looked at this passage. And the thing is if we will hear the teachings of Jesus and listen and apply what we've heard, then we're wise. And so hopefully one of the things that we would leave for our families, we would leave as a legacy, is that we sought wisdom, God's wisdom. We sought His direction. We sought His guidance. And so, no different today. As we talk about leaving a legacy, we want to learn from the teachings of Christ. And so there's a couple of questions here that we need to ask. Number one is, how do you want others to remember you? How do you want others to remember you? Now, this is a good moment to really be honest, to be transparent. Now, nobody has to call out anything, but I want you just to think in your heart of hearts, what do you want to be remembered for? Just think about it. What do you want to be remembered for? Whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, whether you're a teenager, college student, whatever you might be, what do you want to be remembered for? So here's the thing. Sometimes we think, in our minds, we think, well, I want to be remembered for being a loving mom, loving dad. Do we want to be remembered as a hard worker? Do we want to be remembered for our education, what we accomplished? Do we want to be remembered as being rich in monetary gain? Do we want to be remembered as a good cook? Good athlete, good leader, good friend. What do you want to be remembered for? Good parent, good teacher. So I read an article the other day where someone was saying, you know, their whole goal in life, they want to be remembered as a great actress. Maybe that's what she's remembered for. Oftentimes we get caught up in those things, and sometimes we realize, you know what? Those things that I'm pursuing may not be what I want to be remembered for. Maybe something that's what I want. That's what I'm seeking to accomplish. But here's the thing. Is what we do is what we will be remembered for. How we act, how we lead, how we love, how we do all those things is what we will be remembered for. So what do you want to leave behind? What do you want your legacy to be? And here's a statement that's true. It says the reality is that every life leaves a legacy. Every life leaves a legacy, whether it's a great one or a bad one. Even the greatest criminals in history leave a legacy, right? Those who took the most lives possible leave a legacy. Those who did the greatest good possible left a legacy. So all of us, we will leave a legacy of some type. So what is your desire? What do you hope to leave behind as your legacy? Here's something I want you to understand. There's a difference between your reputation and your legacy. You know, oftentimes we think about our reputation, but there's a couple of things. There's a difference between the two. Your reputation, and I put lines on there so you guys can maybe jot down some of these. Maybe one will stick with you, or maybe one will kind of resonate. Your reputation is who you are supposed to be. Your legacy is who you are. Your reputation is who you're supposed to be. That's the reputation that precedes you or whatever, but your legacy is who you really are. Your reputation is what you have when you come to a new community. Your legacy is what you leave behind when you go. What you leave behind when you leave. A single newspaper Wait, here's another one. A reputation is made in a moment. A legacy is built in a lifetime. It takes all of our lifetime to build that legacy. A single newspaper report or careless gossip can give you your reputation. But a life of toil gives you your legacy. In other words, this reputation can be what one person says about you, and it can get caught up in the airwaves of gossip, and all of a sudden that's what people remember you for. But a legacy is what your life of toil has left behind. Reputation is what men say about you on your tombstone. A legacy is what your children will live with for the rest of their lives. So it's not about reputation today. What we're talking about is about a legacy. And really today, you know, I know it's Mother's Day, but if we're going to talk about leaving a rock-solid legacy, really the only way to leave a rock-solid legacy is to build our life and to toil, if you will, in our life on the teachings of Jesus Christ, who is the solid rock. If we believe that Jesus is the rock, He's the rock of our salvation, He is the solid one, His teachings are solid. If you build on that, you build on a solid rock, on a solid bedrock, then we begin to understand, you know, if we're going to have a legacy that's worth leaving and worth living, then it needs to come from the teachings of Jesus. So that's what we're going to look at today. So live a life worthy of a legacy. For everybody in here, we want to be remembered for something. Hopefully, prayerfully, it's something positive. You want to leave behind something. And I think most every parent in here would agree that we leave behind what we have modeled. And we often wish that we didn't leave certain things behind. Like maybe we're too short-tempered, or you know, maybe we're too sharp at the tongue, or whatever. And we wish that we were not leaving that behind, but that's what we model for our children. And we wonder sometimes why they act the way they do. And a lot of it's because it's what was modeled for them. That hurts. It kind of hits close to home. So what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want your kids and your grandkids to remember you for? Was it that banana pudding that you made, or was it, you know, the cake that you made, or you know, was it the wood carvings that you did, or was it the fact you smoked the pipe, or is it remembered for godly things? Are you remembered for the godly things? And so let's look at some of the teachings that Jesus gives us here. Number one is love God with everything you've got. Jesus said this was the most important teaching. We looked at this a few weeks ago, Matthew 22, 36 through 40. They were trying to trap Jesus, and they said, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And so Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. It's the most important thing. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." And so if we don't get anything else, if we could live according to this one command here, this is the first one, but the second one is much like it. It's almost one and the same. It's to love God with everything that's in you. So let me ask you, do you love God with everything that's in you, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul? Does He consume your thoughts at times that you think about how to love Him? Because here's the thing, was for some of us in here, whenever we do fall in love with someone, we think about that person for a long time. Maybe you're engaged, or maybe you're dating. You think about them a lot. You write their name. You know, maybe back in high school, I remember girls writing their name, and they would write the last name of the guy they were dating, whatever. Just, hey, what's it sound like? Whatever. And maybe you think about those things over and over. Maybe He has proposed and there's the wedding day and you think over and over about how special it's going to be and what it's going to be like. You think about those things. And maybe now you're married. And even in your marriage now, you think about your spouse all the time. You think about how much you love them. You think about how blessed you are. Well, here's the thing. Do you love God like that? Do you love God and you realize, you know, God, man, you have been good to me. You have blessed me. And you think of ways to show your love to Him. Do you look forward to coming in and being able to worship? You think about some of the songs that we just got through singing. Do you look forward to being able to come in and being able to sing songs of praise back to Him? Do you love Him with your heart? Do you love Him with your mind the way you think? Do you love Him with your soul to the point of where you literally burn or you hurt? Because when you think about Him, man, you just can't put into words what you feel about Him. Do you love Him with everything that's in you? And I'll just say this, man, if we love like that, if we live like that, man, you're leaving a legacy to your children and to your grandchildren and to those that will come behind you. Man, you're leaving something that will impact their life. Because here's the thing is, if you love Him with everything that's in you, you will follow His teaching. You will line up with what He has said. You will serve others. You will do all these things that we're going to talk about. And so it really starts there. Do you really have a passionate love for God? Or do you just love church? You just like to come to church. You like to, you know, celebrate, you know, once a week, come in, sit down for an hour. Or do you love Him with everything that's in you? Every moment of your day, You're saying, you know, God, I want to live for you. God, I want to serve you. I want to work, and even how I work, I want it to be a witness for you. I want opportunities to tell others about you. God, I want to love you with everything I've got. I'm just telling you, if we live like that, it'll change not only the legacy that we leave behind, it'll change the people around us. Because if we love God like that, people start saying, you know what? I want what he has. I want what she has. And I want to love like that for God. The second one, obey God's commands. Obey God's commands. This is, again, the teachings of Christ. We see this in the Gospel of John. This is what he says. And all these things are what Jesus has said. He says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And then we drop down to verse 23 and 24 here. It says, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. So what Jesus is saying is, listen, if you really love me, you're going to do what I say. You're going to follow my teaching. And so here's the thing. We could probably look back over the last few weeks as we have walked through the rock solid teachings of Jesus. And we can look back and we can look at what he said about how we handle our finances, and we can say, I'm not obeying him in that area. We can even look back to marriage and how to have a rock solid marriage. You might say, you know what, man, I'm not following what Jesus says in that area. Well, here's what he said. He said, you don't really love him. And we just got through talking about, man, if we're going to love God with everything that's in us, with all that I've got, then it's going to affect every area of my life. We love him with our mind. We love him with our heart. We love him with everything we got. We love him with what we've been given. And so Jesus says right here, he says, if you really love me, you're going to obey me. You're going to follow my teaching. It's not that you just want to get a part of it. And sometimes I think that's our mentality. We want enough Jesus so that we don't go to hell. I mean, who in their right mind would want to go to hell? If you read the descriptions, and Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. But anybody in their right mind, you read that, you think, man, you know, I do not want to go there. So most all of us, if we have any common sense, would say, dude, I want to go to heaven. Man, that's where I want to be. Peace, blessings. It sounds like that's the place you want to be. Now, for some of you that don't like singing, you might have a hard time in heaven because it sounds like there's a lot of singing. You know, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Maybe something we hear a lot. But here's the thing, that's who he is. And so the picture of heaven, you think, man, that's what I want. I want to go there. And so we want enough Jesus to make sure that we go to heaven. And we don't want to go to hell, but we don't really want to show that affection to him in everything that we do. But the Bible says that if we really love him, we obey him. And we obey all his commands. We obey his teachings. We say, you know, we look for ways to line up with what he said and what he did. So if we want to leave a legacy of love, then we obey the commands of God. We obey the teachings of Christ, which not only comes from him, it comes from the Father. And so if we want to honor our loving Father, if we want to honor God in our life, then what we've got to be willing to say is, you know what, man, I want to line up with God's commands. No matter what they are, even though they may be contrary to what this world teaches, they may be contrary to what is politically correct or what may be accepted, we've got to be willing to say, you know what, I want to line up with his word. That is what drives me. Those are the parameters. Those are the guidelines. This word becomes a blueprint, if you would, for life. And so we look into it. And here's the thing is, the only way to know what it says is to spend time in it reading it. And so if we really want to show that God, that we love him and really live out that love, then we spend time in his word, knowing what his word teaches us so that we can obey it and literally say, God, I love you. I love your teachings. And we go back to David. David says, I love your precepts. I love your teachings. Man, they're like fuel for me. They're like food for me. And so is the word of God the bread of life to us as believers? And if we want to be rock solid and leave a rock solid legacy, then our family, our people around us, our friends, whoever they may be, need to see that we love the Word of God. We love the promises of Scripture and that we stand on it. We lean into it. Here's another one. This is from the teachings of Christ. We should be quick to forgive. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against us, sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That kind of rocks us sometimes. We read that, we go, wait a minute. You know, if I ask Jesus to forgive me, he's gonna forgive me, right? But here Jesus says that if we hold sin against someone, if we are not willing to forgive those around us, don't expect to be forgiven. Think back, you know, we all want to go to heaven, right? We all want to get in. We want enough Jesus to get in, but sometimes we don't want it to affect everything else. And so here's the thing is he's telling me and he's telling you, you know what, man, if you want to be in right standing with me, you've got to be willing to forgive people. I was listening to the radio this past week, and an advertisement came on. It was talking about Mother's Day. And anyway, it was talking about all these attributes of mom and what she was. It says, you know, how you're this. You've been my therapist at times, and you've been the reason I've needed a real therapist. And I was like, dang, what kind of commercial is that? You know, and I can't remember. I thought it was one of the cards, greeting cards, or, you know, one of the cards that they were trying to promote. And so here's the thing is there may be some of you in here, you need to forgive your mom. Maybe you need to forgive her. There may be some of you in here that you grew up in a bad home situation. Maybe it was abusive. Maybe you struggled. Maybe there was a lot of tension and issues there and that have become maybe a bitterness or anger or resentment that's built up in you towards your mom or towards your dad or whoever it might be. You just need to be willing to forgive. Because the Bible says that if we've got to be willing to quickly and thoroughly forgive just as Christ has forgiven us. So maybe there's somebody in here that, you know, you're struggling to obey Christ because you don't want to forgive. You want to hate them. You want to be bitter. You want to be, you know, mean-spirited towards them. But Jesus says that we're to forgive, even to those that hurt us, those that have wounded us. So maybe there's someone that God's telling you right now, he's kind of speaking to your heart and saying, listen, this one that you keep holding on to, I want you to forgive them. I want you to let that go. And all kinds of people can hurt us. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. You know, maybe it's a mom. Maybe it's a dad. But people can hurt us, and they can, you know, and they can hurt us sometimes not even intentionally. You ever known somebody who got their feelings hurt or got upset with someone and the other person didn't even know about it? And here they are walking around with all this bitterness and anger and resentment towards this person that doesn't even know that, you know what, they've offended. And so here's the thing is this person is the one that's hurting. This is the one that's wounded. And they don't even know that, if they will be willing to forgive, God can take that away. So one of the things that we see and that is clearly taught is to forgive. And forgiveness is tough sometimes because we feel like there ought to be justice. We feel like they ought to have to pay the price. They ought to feel like I feel. But Jesus says to forgive. Let me read it one more time. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And so if we want to be in right standing with God, we want to walk in that peace of mind and have that peace that passes understanding, we've got to be willing to lay some things down and let some things go. And choosing to forgive someone. There may be some of you in here, the person that comes to mind for you, they've already passed on, they're dead. You think, well, how am I supposed to forgive them? You can choose to do that. I had a young girl that had been sexually molested by a family member. She literally had to write a letter because he had already passed on. She wrote that letter and she went and stood at the grave and she read the letter and then she burned the letter. And she said, you know, it's like 1,000,000 pounds came off my shoulders. He said, but that's when I chose to forgive. So we've got to be willing to say, you know what? I don't want to carry this burden anymore, but Jesus, I know that you can handle it. And choosing to forgive someone who has wounded us is tough. But Jesus gives us the power and the ability to do that. And he begins that healing process when we let that go. So being quick to forgive, here's another one, to serve others. Maybe you want to model that. And moms and dads, I would just say, you know, we need to model all these things. We need to model, you know, what we want our kids to walk away with. And we need to teach them. You know, part of our job as parents is to teach our kids and I think it's okay for them to know that, you know, we make mistakes. We mess up at times. It's good to hear that, you know what, we make mistakes. And so they need to see that, you know what, man, hey, if we're struggling in an area, let them know that. We're not perfect. There's no perfect parents in this room, and I hope the kids understand. There's no perfect parents. But we are forgiven, and we're all fellow strugglers, and so we're learning as we go. So serving others is another one. You know, let your kids see you forgive others, but also let them see you serve others. Jesus called them together. I said, you know, that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over them, over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, too often we go through life, we want others to serve us. We go to our restaurant, you know, we want them to serve us, and we want them to do a really good job of it, or either their tip continually gets lower and lower. And so the thing is we have to ask ourselves, do our kids see us modeling things? Do they see us doing things? And so we've got to be willing to work at modeling those things in front of them. And so choosing to serve others. Do your kids ever see you do something for somebody else, to bless anybody else? When's the last time your kids saw you blessing someone or doing something for someone without anything in return? The only blessing you get is just that God knows. Maybe you even do it in secret and you tell them, say, listen, you can't tell anybody we're doing this. It's a secret. And so you go out and do it and you just bless somebody. When's the last time your kids saw you do that? You know, and our kids, you know, they learn from us, right? I mean, that's their job, is hopefully, prayerfully, they're learning from us. And I know some of the kids in here are thinking, man, there's plenty of things about my mom or my dad I don't want to be. That's okay. You're learning from us, I guess, you know. But we learn from our parents things that we don't want to do, that we don't want to be. But we also can learn some things that we can do. And so what we do is we help set standards and stuff. And yesterday we were celebrating my middle son, Zach's. It was his 17th birthday. And anyway, so we were getting everything together, and we've been working all day trying to make sure everything was right. And anyway, so I said, you know, I'm gonna cut the backyard and just go ahead and make sure that it looks good. And all the boys were like, it looks fine. I was like, no, it doesn't. And I said, that's because your standard's here, but my standard's here. And so anyway, after we got through cutting, they were like, yeah, it looks all right. But it looked fine a while ago. And Lori and I were like, what? It looks much better cut than it did the other one. So do you parents ever have to deal with some of that? That your kids, your standards here, your kids, like you walk into the room and they say, I clean my room. And you're like, dude, this is not clean. You know, I mean, I don't know what, you know, you think clean is, but this is not it. You know, I can remember whenever we would wash cars as a kid, or whenever they were kids, they'd get out there and I would say, hey, y'all go wash the car. And you go out there and a spot here and a spot there. And I was like, hey, guys, this is not done. You know, this is the standard here or whatever. And so here's the thing you have to be careful about, though. Do you set a standard so that your kids always go, hey, we never measured up, we were never good enough or whatever? You have to be careful about that. So here's the thing. What you do is you teach them. And so you teach them, hey, this is what is good. This is what is excellent. This is what, when we bring our best, this is what we do. You teach them a work ethic. If you're always known for calling in sick and you're not sick, you're teaching your kids that. If you go to work and you come home and you complain about the boss all the time, you're teaching your kids that. If you go to work and you don't give it your best and you don't work as under the Lord, but you work because you're just getting a paycheck and you always complain about what you're getting paid, you're teaching your kids that. So the thing is what do you want to be remembered for, and what are you going to model for your kids? That you go and you work hard and you work as under the Lord, you give your best, and you try to love Him in every way possible, even how you work, even how you talk about your work, even how you talk about your coworkers. Yeah, that's how we model it. And so we are to serve others. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world will rule it over people. And officials flaunt the authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Is it different among you? Is it different among you? So he's talking to the disciples here. Hey guys, all the followers, hey, it's going to be different among you. Are we different as believers, as followers of Christ? Are we different? We should be. We're called to be set apart and to be different. And so here, Jesus said, hey, it's going to be different among you. It's going to be different among you. Look what he says. He says, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. In other words, the first shall be last. And too often, we always want to be first, don't we? Even this morning here, you ever pull up to the red light and the car beside you kind of gets a little bit of lead and you speed up just so you can be ahead of them? Anybody do that? Anybody, be honest, raise your hand. All right, y'all kind of, all right, because you want to be first, right? We have that tendency. Even this morning on the way here, I had an old man get up beside me. He's like, no, dude, you ain't going to beat me. And, you know, so, and I beat him, by the way. I just want you to know, I beat him. Didn't a Christian. So, and I didn't speed, but I got ahead of him. Got ahead. So that's our tendency. We want to be first. You know, we want to get ahead. We want to be first. And so that's our tendency. We think, hey, I want to be in first place. I want people to serve me. But what Jesus is saying, listen, I've come to serve you. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for us. I mean, he came to be a servant. He fed the hungry. He healed the lame. He healed the blind. He washed the disciples' feet. And you remember the disciples, hey, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Peter's like, no, you're not washing mine. And he says, if you don't do what I'm doing, you don't have any part in me. So let me just say that to us. If we don't have a servant mentality, we don't have any part in Jesus. But we should have that mentality. Who can I serve? Who can I bless? Who can I care for? Who can I minister to? Who can I wash their feet? Too often we're looking for someone to bless us. But the mentality ought to be, who can I bless? Who can I care for? The next one there. This is the great qualities. Trust God. Simple sentence, John 14:1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Too often we're troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. That's Jesus' teaching. For some of you in the room, man, we struggle with trusting God. Our hearts are troubled. We're worried about our finances. We're worried about our company. Is it going to close down? We get overwhelmed. We get worried about this. We worry about that. And we model for our children worry, not trust. We worry, hey, is the business going to make it? Hey, we worry about the schools. You know, we put too much worry into things. And we model that for our kids, that we're always frantic. We're always worried. We're always stressed. And what we should be saying is, hey, listen, we trust God. You get laid off, man, I'm trusting God. Company closes down, man, I'm trusting God. And so do you model for your children that, you know what, I trust God. Our culture, man, even our nation, there's a lot of people, and we've seen it all year long, even with the politics, people just frantic and worried. Man, do we trust God or do we trust politics? Who do you put your trust in? God's still in control. Ain't nothing snuck up on him. But do you trust God? And we frantically, literally panic in front of our kids. And so what we do is we leave a legacy that we were panickers, man. We were worriers. And so we've got to be willing to say, you know what, God, I trust you. I trust you to teach me. I trust you to change me. I trust you to guide me. And God, I trust you to provide for our family. I trust you to lead me to the right job. I trust you to show me where to take the application or whatever it might be. God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Do your kids see that you trust them or that you are worry-warped? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Too often, I think we walk through life troubled, worrying, fretting, stressing. When Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled, but trust in God, trust also in him. Trust God, trust Jesus. Trust God, trust Jesus. Here's another one. Great quality. Make time for prayer. Make time for prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly and on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. So what Jesus is saying, listen, don't let be the only time you pray is whenever you're in front of a group of people or when you're sitting around the table, you know, and saying the blessing. And maybe, like I said, but maybe get away and go stand in the gap for your kids. Go stand in the gap for your grandkids. Go stand in the gap and pray for your community. Go stand in the gap and pray for your church. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your state. Pray for your nation. Pray for things. And so here's the thing is, most of us in the room, we know that, you know what, that's the disciples. They went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Because obviously that's where his authority came from. That's where his power seemed to come from. It was his connection with God the Father that came through his time in prayer. He would pray and bless food, and he would literally feed 5,000 people. And then they would take up 12 baskets of leftovers. And they were like, dude, what has he got in that prayer that is so powerful? And so in our prayer, are we praying? Moms and dads, let me ask you, are you a prayer warrior? Do you worry or do you pray? Because one cancels out the other. And so are you going and spending time maybe in your prayer closet or maybe out on the back porch where no one can see? Amen. You go and you spend time in prayer, praying for your kids. You're praying blessings over them. You're praying for God to put people in their life that will speak the truth into them, that speak life into them. Maybe you're praying for their future spouse. You're praying over them. You pray for your community. You pray for your church. You pray for the lost to come to know him. So we never know who may be sitting in here today that has never put their faith in Christ. They've been to church. Men have never put their faith in Christ. They've never loved him with everything that is in them. And so today may be the day of salvation. And there's times when even when we get to the invitation, instead of praying, you're thinking about where you're going to eat lunch. But what if that was an opportunity to just say, God, I want to stand in the gap for anybody in here that does not know you. God, I want to pray that their soul would be saved today. So here's the thing. If we've got a heart for evangelism, if we've got a heart for to see lives changed, here's the thing is, you'll be known for that. You'll be remembered for that. You think about Billy Graham. When he breathes his last, and probably for years to come, he'll be known as a great evangelist who reached millions with the good news of Christ, who remained faithful. That's what he'll be remembered for. So what will you be remembered for? Will you be remembered as a person of prayer? Will you be remembered as one who forgives? Will you be remembered as one who serves? And then this last one says, be committed. Be committed. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. That hurts. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And so here Jesus is saying, be committed. You know, stick to what you say you're going to do. There was a time in our culture and in our nation where a man's word was solid. A handshake was as binding as anything. But we live in a culture where, man, it's about convenience and what we want. I mean, we think about, you know, we joke about phones and stuff, but everybody's got a phone. And there was a time whenever you had to have a phone contract. But now, you know, you can't even, you know, I don't even think they do contracts anymore because everybody was breaking them so much. And other companies are like, hey, we'll give you $550 if you'll come over here towards you breaking your contract. In other words, you breaking your agreement with whoever. And so here's the thing is when we sign those things, we're really not intending to keep them. We're just waiting for the next good deal to come along, right? That's what most people do. You might be going, Mike, that's just a phone. It's an indicator of how we do life. A lot of things are an indicator of how we really do life. But we've got to be committed. And so let me ask you, are you committed to the family? Are you committed to making an investment in them that may not be what you want to do, but it may be what you need to do? I wanted to read this to you. I thought this was a good statement. I read this past week. It says, the central paradox of our time is that most of us are earning more money and living better in material terms than our parents did a quarter of a century ago. Yet by most measures, we're working longer and more frantically than before. And the time and energy left for our non-working lives are evaporating. The new economy we are living in brings enormous benefits in terms of wealth, innovation, there's your phones, new chances and choices. But our absorption in keeping up with all of it is leading to the erosion of our families, the fragmenting of our communities, and the challenge of keeping our own integrity intact. We are in danger of losing the crucial distinction between making a living and making a life. So let me ask you, have you gotten caught up in the American dream to the point of where we're willing to sacrifice our families in order to have more stuff, latest technology, bigger houses, whatever it might be? Or is the family more important? Is it the influence? So I guess we have to ask, do we want to be remembered for what we accomplished and the wealth that we built? Is that what we want to be known for? Or do we want to be known for the influence that we were in our family's lives? And so, dads, let me ask you, do you want to be known as a godly man who led your family or one who was just a great provider? They're both important, but here's one. There's the one that's more important than the other. And so we've got to be willing to ask ourselves, am I committed to what? Am I committed to living a life that leaves a great legacy, that honors God and lines up with the teachings of Christ? Or am I committed to something else? Maybe the American dream. Maybe to just to having more. And so what are you committed to? And here's the thing is, whatever you commit to, just be committed to it. Jesus said the same thing. He said, listen, choose one or the other. Either choose the world or either choose me. He said, this kind of walking, the line kind of staying in the middle makes me want to throw up or vomit is what he says. He says that in Revelations. Either be hot or either cold. One or the other. This kind of trying to stay in the middle and live in both worlds, he said, makes me want to puke. Like lukewarm water. And so, let me ask you, are you committed? There was a time, like I said, when a man's word was worth something, a handshake meant something. But now, man, we say things and we promise things that we know that we're not going to deliver on. We don't even want to. Businesses do the same thing. We get frustrated, and even Christian businesses do the same thing. So honor your word. Live as a person of integrity. Live where, you know what, you're committed to what you say you're going to do. And more than anything, live a committed life to Christ. Commit to His teachings. Love Him with everything you've got. Obey His commands. Be quick to forgive, just as He is willing to forgive you. Serve others. That's what Jesus did. He came to be a servant and to pay for your sins and my sins. Trust God and trust also in Christ. Make time for prayer, because Jesus did. He modeled that for us. He even taught us how to pray. And then be committed. Be committed. Be faithful. We live in a culture where half the marriages end in divorce. We talked about in this series that being committed is realizing that our marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant. Be committed to the covenant. There's a couple of steps down here. So my next step today is to love God with everything I've got. Maybe for some of you in here, that is the step you need to take, because you've just been loving Him with just a little bit of what you got left over. But maybe what if today you decide, you know what? Whether my husband does, or my wife does, or my kids do, or anybody else does in here, or my parents, or whatever. What if you made a decision today? You said, you know what? I want to love God with everything I've got. I want to love Him with my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything I've got, I want to love God. If you made that decision, you think about it, what if everybody in here made that decision? I'm going to love God with everything that's in me. I want to honor Him in every possible way, with how I work, with how I talk, with how I treat others, with how I serve. If I would love Him like that, you think about what kind of difference it would make in our community. It would literally lead to revival. It would change the hearts and lives of people around us. They would be overwhelmed with what they were seeing in you, because they would be seeing Jesus in you. What if we loved like that? Oh, look at this next one. My next step today is to choose to forgive. And I don't know who that person might be that you want to write down there. But maybe today you choose to forgive whoever. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe choose to forgive a friend. Maybe choose to forgive an uncle or an aunt, grandmother, grandfather. Maybe choose to forgive your child, your son, or your daughter. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's your coworker. But what if you chose to forgive, and then you were able to experience God's forgiveness, and you begin to experience His peace because you let that go? And then the last one, and this is just one thing you can do, but my next step today is to teach my family to serve by serving on the dream team here at Journey. Let your kids see that you are willing to serve others. And people worked hard all week to serve the moms. We've got special rooms set up over there. You know, and moms, we want you to go. We want you to go experience that. It's a way just for us to bless you. You know, and just to serve you. We've had people working all week trying to put together plans to make it special for you, because we wanted to honor you. We wanted to honor God first and foremost, but we wanted to honor you. So maybe one of the things that you could do is teach your kids to serve by serving here in the church, here in the community. Finding some way, maybe going on a mission trip, serving someone and making it not about us, but hey, how can I serve them? I know for many of us in here, choosing to forgive is tough. And for some of you in here, you know, there's a name you want to write in there. I mean, you're just really struggling with letting that go. And I know for Mother's Day, a lot of times that day can be tough for some ladies. Maybe you've not been a mother yet. It can be a powerful, painful time for you. So maybe the person that you need to forgive is God. You've been bitter and you've been angry towards God because He hasn't answered your prayer. He hasn't moved in the way that you want Him to. And so maybe the one person you need to forgive today is to say, God, I want to ask You to forgive me because I've sinned against You and against heaven. Say, God, I'm going to trust You. I don't know what Your plans are, but I trust You. I trust You to heal me. I trust You to use me. And God, I trust Your plans. Your plans are what matter most. So forgiving can be a tough thing. And to think that we have to forgive God sometimes we do. Maybe He's taken a child. The child has gone to be with Him. And then we struggle with that and we go, God, why? Why? And we have to be willing to say, God, I trust You. I forgive You. So the toughest thing today for some of you may be just to let go. Say, God, I want to live in a way that honors you. But just think about the legacy that you leave behind. How you have lived is what your kids will live with. And I think every parent in here wants to leave a godly legacy. But you've got to be willing to lay some things down. And you've got to be willing to choose some things, pick some things up, like the teachings of Christ. And build your home, build your family, build your marriage on the teachings of Christ, not on what this world has to say. Let's pray.